At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley here with Kedrick Prince. We're going to give you the instant take on the roller coaster of Illini football. And when you're on an Illini roller coaster, it's not like one of those brand new ones that with all the plastic, you know, and it's kind of comfortable. This is one of those rickety old wooden ones that knocks you back and forth side to side, and you get off it, you have bruises all over. Well, that's what today was, but at least the Illini came out with the incredible win. Cad, up there in the press box, just what was it like going through the roller coaster of emotions to end up at the 48-45 overtime victory?
I want to tell you, for the fans who don't know, in a press box, you know, we're all supposed to sit, not say anything. You have to be quiet. You know, they give you this rule. You can't cheer, can't do anything. And, you know, let's face it, you know, journalism has changed since the early 80s. And most people who cover the games, they are supporters and fans of the team. Half the beat writers went down and on the field, but the other half stayed up here. And it was probably louder in here in the press box than it was on the field because, you know, you saw the life just being taken right out of Illinois. They had an 8-point lead and lost it in a matter of seconds. And then, you know, everybody here, and even on social media, you can't put a better script together for John Paddock. I'm amazed. And that's all people are talking about. Here's a kid that is following his dream, came here to compete, Mike, for the job. He didn't win it. And this kid threw for 507 yards. That's the second highest total yards in the history of the program, and he is a backup quarterback. Just amazing.
Yeah, it was quite an effort. And of course, John Paddock now with 24 for 36, 507 yards passing, 4 TDs, 1 interception, a 216.1 rating. And with that 507 yards is now the second most passing yards in a game, in a single game, in the history of University of Illinois football. Only Dave Wilson in 1980 against Ohio State with 621 yards beats what Paddock did. I don't know how you do 2 weeks in a row of throwing a touchdown to the same person and winning a game. Just incredible when you come in 4th and 11, you know, with a minute and 35 seconds or whatever it was last week. Then you set all sorts of records this week. Kedrick, what are your thoughts on this, this amazing performance from John Paddock, one that will go down as legend in Illini lore?
You know what? Last week when they played Minnesota, it was just a feel-good story. But then after that kind of wore off, Mike, you start looking at the windows and tight windows that he was throwing passes to. And then his first pass today was a flub. Then you thought, okay, is this the same guy that we saw against Penn State? And then he came out and just started throwing ropes and missiles and putting the ball in plays where in places where I've not seen all year. I mean, let's be honest, we've not seen that all year long. You can argue the fact that it's Indiana, regardless, it's a Division I Power 5 team, and he looked truly amazing doing it. At the end of the day, he did. And people are asking all over the country, you know, is this a quarterback controversy? You know how football coaches are. If Luke Altmyer is healthy, that's what they're going to go back with. But there's no way you can ignore the fact that this kid just did. He put the ball in places. To be honest with you, out of, 36 passes, I could count on one hand how many bad throws he had out of 36 passes. Mike, that performance was impressive. I mean, guys broke records. I mean, if you look at receiving yards, Isaiah Williams, 200. Pat Bryan, 131. Casey Washington, 99. I mean, that was a heck of a performance. He will probably, to be honest with you, not just Big Ten awards, but he could possibly be up for some national awards this week.
Yeah, well, especially when it comes out with a W on that. Brad, what were your thoughts?
Well, I agree with everything Kit said. I also thought they went away from Isaiah Williams for a stretch there, and then they get back to him in the last play. Kit and I were sitting there watching that, and we said, you know, they need to go to him in this situation. And well, they tried twice then, and he got the touchdown. So, but I thought Paddock was fantastic. I mean, his ability to throw from different arm angles and just the thing he did was he got the ball out on time most of the time. You saw him not get sacked very often. So three-step drops, quick passes, things like that. They had a different game plan with him, a quarterback, I think. And I think that's better for this offensive line. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I know Luke Altmyer's got the big arm. You want to throw the ball deep. But at the same time, the slow developing plays do not work when your offensive line can't block. And Paddock took advantage. Now, is that Paddock or Altmyer game plan? I don't know for sure. I can't tell you. But what I can tell you is John Paddock was fantastic at just taking what the defense gave him, finding guys back shoulder throws, putting balls in places where only his guy could catch it. You know, he really, I'll be honest with you, he had maybe one mistake where he kind of threw that ball up for grabs one time. Other than that, he was almost flawless. I mean, just fantastic. You know, he really impressed by him.
And then the other person I wanted to throw out there that we really haven't talked much about, real quick here on the instant take, what about what Reggie Love did coming back from injury? He looked gassed a couple of times during the day, but 24 carries, 140 yards, two touchdowns, almost 6 yards a carry. But when they needed the big yards, he got them, and many of those yards were after contact. Ked?
Well, you know what? You're right. And, you know, we don't know what the status is in the press box of Cade Fagan. I thought when he went in the game, you know, I was sitting in the press box and it was 3rd-and-1. I immediately yelled to Brad and to some of my other colleagues, they're using him as a decoy. Reggie was amped, you know, before the game started. I just happened to be on the field, and he doesn't remember me, but came up and gave me a high five and said, "Hey, man, I don't know you, but I'm ready to go." So he was excited to be on the field. You know, you're right, Mike. I mean, he gave them another option because, you know, I don't know the health of Cade Fagan. It looked like from up here, you know, it was a shoulder injury. You know, I don't know if they said it on the broadcast or not, but, you know, Reggie was solid. I mean, no matter how you look at it, from, you know, a rushing standpoint, you know, a guy that hadn't played in several weeks had 140 yards and averaged 5.8 yards a carry. And, you know, one of his longs was, you know, 37 yards. So this was a good all-around performance. I mean, I know we're going to touch on the defense real quick because giving up 451 yards is not ideal.
Yeah. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought Love was great. I thought he ran hard. He did a really nice job. I think that having the combo of Love and Fagan healthy is going to help a lot if they can be healthy next 2 weeks. But, you know, you're also in a situation where can you imagine if Love had gotten hurt today or couldn't go? I don't know who would have played running back. I mean, you're basically top five running backs would have been out. I mean, it's kind of insane when you think about it. But I thought Reggie Love ran hard. I thought he did a really good job. And this was probably – there were a couple holes that were the biggest holes I've seen all year by this offensive line. I mean, they actually made some – you know, created some gaping holes for him to run through, especially on that I think it was a 37-yard touchdown run. It's fantastic, just a fantastic blocking and a great, you know, great cut and run. So it was very impressive. I thought he was good. You know, offensively, there's not really much to pick in this game. But defensively, there's a lot.
Oh, yes, there is a lot. Before we talk a little bit about the defense, let's talk one thing with what Isaiah Williams did, 9 receptions for 200 yards. That ties him now for 4th on the all-time single-game receiving yardage. He's tied with Mike Dudek, who did it in 2014 against Purdue. And 3rd place would be David Williams at 208 yards, friend of the Illini guys. And, of course, Steve Hull above him and A.J. Jenkins at the top of the pile with 268 yards. So incredible. Now, when we talk about the defense, Ked, what's up with the defensive backs? Because it seems like if they weren't covering somebody, they were getting a penalty for either holding, you know, interfering or mouthing off and talking to people.
I'll give Indiana credit. They found a hole and they rode that hole hard, you know, for most of the game because they couldn't stop the pass. I mean, they just, you know, they picked on Scott the whole game. And then one time, I forget the defensive back that got the interception, but they, Illinois got spread out all over the field. I mean, and it wasn't one of their best performances. It's tough. And I want the fans to understand this because I know ideally, Illinois wants to play man-to-man. But then there was a couple of times, you know, I'm talking, sitting next to Brad, and, you know, we look up and they're in the zone. I kind of get it. I, you know, it stinks, but I don't know if they're good enough yet. And then, you know, our colleague Max Stevens made the comment, says, Ked, they're young. They're freshmen and sophomores. That's a big difference. You lost a lot of guys to the NFL that are stars in the league right now, and it's not easy to, you know, replace them. I mean, not in 1 year. I mean, you could get lucky in the transfer portal, but the bottom line is, it's, you know, I think they're a year away, but I think teams, you know, there's only what 2 games left, you know, maybe 3 if they can get another win out and get to a bowl game. But I know they're going to address that issue because, Mike, they just threw the ball all over the field, and that's not what Illinois is accustomed to. I don't think Ann Henry is the issue, the problem. They just don't have the experience and the depth back there yet.
Yeah, and they remind me, and then I'll go to you, Brad. They remind me of the Florida situation. The Gators right now are playing a ton of guys who are freshmen and sophomores or in their first year of starting, and they're having all sorts of issues in the SEC. Brad?
Yeah, I agree. They got a lot of youth. The one thing I would say, I think Aaron Henry was trying to, you know, he tried to mix it up. He tried to play some zone, and then they were just, you know, picking him apart and marching down the field, and then they tried to play some man-to-man, and they, you know, got a million penalties. I will say, Ked and I were joking, they actually did a better job playing man-to-man and committing penalties. Because evidently they didn't call them all, maybe. I don't know. But it was but, yeah, they really, you know, the soft stuff really didn't work against the Indiana receivers. And they and I will say this both ways. They really didn't let DBs play physical. And so when you don't let DBs play physical, it's really difficult to guard, defend guys out in space like that. And so, yeah, I mean, it's hard. This is what – but you know what? Here's the weird part about it. This is college football. Like, this is what it's been like for other conferences forever. Like the Big 12, they've been scoring a million points because this is what they do. They get one-on-one situations and they attack that one-on-one. And that's what Illinois did today. So I guess I don't know. I mean, you want your defense to be better, and there's a few times your defense is great, but at the end of the day, you got to be able to score points, and they scored enough points today to win. Now, if you shore up the defense, it'll help. But I do think the one thing defensively that killed them was, you know, there were all those things. We're just committing penalties, not getting their head around on balls at the cornerback position. And that's just discipline and youth. And that I don't know how many pass interferences, but they have 4 or 5 pass interference calls, maybe more.
Yeah.
It's insane. And so you commit that many penalties, you just give up yards, and they get first downs. I mean, you know, there was one, like, I think it was 2nd and 18, and they get a first down. You know, those are the kind of things that just can't happen in a game like this. So, but overall, you know, at the end of the day, you won, and that's what you hang your hat on.
Yeah, and I'm thinking maybe we saw the birth of a new type of offense. Bielema ball, maybe throw the ball around, throw for 500 yards. That's what Brett Bielema may stand for. Folks, we will be back in just probably about an hour with our full analysis, but we wanted to put this instant take out there for you who are driving home from the game. Please drive safe and be looking on your phone for us to be downloaded, and you'll get another podcast maybe even before you get out of the car. For Kedrick Prince and Brad Sturdy, this is Mike Kegley saying, go Illini.